Turn in your Bibles to Romans 13. Page 1189 in your church Bibles. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. This morning, as we read, I ask one question. Do you have the right attitude to the authorities that are over you? The authority that you're under, whether it's work, the home, church, the people who are over you in life, do you have the right attitude? Let's read what God says about the governing authorities. Romans 13, the word of the Lord. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant or minister to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, pay revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. As believers, God calls you to respect and cooperate with authority out of your respect for God. Respect and cooperate with authority out of your respect for God. How are you doing? In this context, what is the context here? To be fair to this text, The authority that it's talking about here is the government. If you will, it's in the arena of the city, the state, if you will, the county, the federal, and the like. Having to do with the rules that are in our society. The officials would involve people like the police, the judges, and others empowered to interpret and enforce our laws. Of course, the principles will be broad and can be applied in every area of life, as it touches upon parents, teachers, employers, church leaders, and anyone else with official authority over you. The principles really would effectively be the same. When I was in the sixth grade, we had this spelling contest, and it was a great contest. Ernestine Cole won for the girls, and the teacher promised that whoever won would get a model airplane. It was great. And everybody was, I forgot what the girls was promised, something. But the guys were going to get the model airplane. The results came down and they declared the winner was a boy named Danny. And Danny lives in Catonsville right now. And he was checking his mailbox the other day to look for the model airplane about 45 years later, and there's no model airplane yet. Still waiting to see if this teacher is going to send it. Well, I think he's recently passed away, so I doubt that I'll ever get the airplane. But I must admit, it really took a blow to my view of teachers, my view of people in authority, that it begins to makes you wonder whether you should even listen to what they have to say. After all, when they make promises and don't deliver, it does kind of discourage a young person from wanting to obey or to do what's told. And of course, if that's the biggest mistake you ever make, I guess it won't be too bad. But teachers and all sorts of people in authority let us down, whether it's through negligence, forgetfulness, or it might be like my wife. She said that she was basically destroyed because the leaders in her church, church youth group, here were two people that she looked up to, role models. And she had worked with them, and they had worked with her for years. And then she found out they were getting divorced. It just destroyed everything tested everything that she had received in the context of the church and the youth ministry. It just challenged it all and made her wonder. I went on the internet the other day just for a minute, and it took me no time to find these headlines. Top policeman caught speeding. Corrupt officer caught lying again. Senior Miami policeman caught in prostitution sting. I mean, and we could go on and on. And but when you live next door to officials and you see that they put their clothes on just like you, you see that they make mistakes like you, and you begin to see that some of them get caught in scandals and all sorts of things, everything from forgetfulness to doing some terrible, terrible crime, you begin to wonder about this whole thing of authority. You see the bumper sticker every now and then that goes around and says, question authority, right? I believe we live in a day and age where there's been a great erosion for authority. I think perhaps the 9/11 has probably elevated our view of it somewhat and the need for it here in our country. But I think before that it was eroding fairly quickly. But why should we respect authority? Why should we honor it? Why should we do what we're asked to do, whether it's your employer or some teacher or some official? Why should we do that? Particularly when they let us down time after time. Not that they all do all the time, of course. But notice what he says in verse 4. He says, respect authority because authorities are God's ministers. Verse 4, do you see it? He is God's servant to do you good. They might not be good ministers, but God considers them His servants. It goes back to verses 1 and 2. You see it? Don't miss it in the first and second verses. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities exist because they've been established by God. I find it interesting that the same Greek word there for these authorities, where it says in verse 4, he is God's servant. The word servant really is the same one used for deacons. He's God's deacon. Or it is also used in reference to the angels. When the angels come to minister to Jesus, when after his 40-day fast, it says he sent his angels to serve him, to diaconize him. The governing authorities are God's deacons. They're God's angels who are there to minister to us. Someone has written, it says, the ultimate authority rests with God is beyond question. That ultimate authority rests with God is beyond question. But it should be noted that God exercises His authority on earth and in heaven through delegation. So the authorities are God's delegates. Whether they're Christian or not is irrelevant. Hopefully they have Christian principles, that they may or may not. And when they tell us to do something, we are to cooperate with them. And of course, unless they tell us something wrong, like Peter and like the apostles, we're told not to proclaim the gospel, not to teach in the name of Christ. And of course, the apostles were willing to to disobey. And of course, when you're willing to disobey, you know you have to pay the penalty too. You'd be willing to pay the penalty when you choose to go out from authority. And because authorities can be wrong. But as a general rule, what they tell us is not sinful. It's not against biblical principles per se. And we are to step forward and cooperate. You have to remember, too, that who were the authorities in a time when this letter was written? It says that all the scholars across the board tell us that Nero was emperor. And he was no thrill to live under. Of course, it was probably about a decade later before the persecutions actually took over. And whenever Christians were being killed and being blamed for burning down Rome, and many people feel that Nero himself did it, it's given him an excuse so they could martyr Christians and others. But Paul knows that it's who the emperor was. He knows that it wasn't the best situation to be in. And yet he says that we are to submit to the authorities over us. And take for example in Jesus' attitude regarding authorities. And imagine some of your bosses are maybe not really all that hot. Some of your church leaders in various churches, I think we have some good church leaders here personally, but in various churches they may not be so hot. Think about what they were in Jesus' day, what kind of condition they were in then, the religious leaders. In Matthew 23, it's Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, and I'm reading from the Bible, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do." You see? And he goes on to say, "They put heavy loads on men's shoulders. They themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." Even though you're in a condition that's oppressive, and some of you are, in a situation in homes, some people are in an oppressive situation in their workplace, and it's just difficult. But God says, don't do what they do, but do what they say. If they're not making you sin, just cooperate. In fact, the Apostle Paul apologizes when he accidentally disrespects someone in authority in Acts 23:1, the high priest. It says, "Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and he said, 'My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God and in all conscience this day.' And at this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, 'God will strike you, you whitewashed wall.'" Sound like you? "You sit there to judge me according to law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." And those who were standing near Paul said, "You dare insult God's high priest?" And Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" So even the Apostle Paul apologizes for losing his cool and being disrespectful to one in authority. Folks, as you who are parents, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you sometimes wonder why your children don't always respect authority? Do you sometimes wonder why they don't respect authority? Some of it may be their human nature. That's just natural there. But some of it may be because they hear the parents' tone of voice when you talk about people in authority. It may be they heard you talking about the boss or the teacher in certain ways, with a certain attitude. And it's beginning to come down with your kids. And verse 7 says, "Show honor where honor is due." Verse 1, "For these authorities are placed over us by God." Respect authority because God has placed them in a high position over us. Secondly, why should we respect authority? This text says that because negative consequences can happen when we don't. Negative consequences can happen when we don't. Verse 3, look at it. Rulers hold no terror or no fear for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right. He will commend you. Why cooperate and show respect to authority? He says, one, there's a fear of being caught. That's a terrible thing. You're living in violation to something, you know, and you're hoping to get away with it, to sneak by with it. And you have this little second life that you're living, or the second thing you're doing. In Christian circles, we call it, you know, the secret life. And so you live with this sense of fear of being exposed. And that's why some people don't run for political office, because they know their history. And if it ever comes out, they're ruined. And they don't want to go through all that examination. Living with the fear of being caught. But also, we respect authority because the actual punishment itself might come down our way. Not just being exposed, but there actually might be some repercussions, some penalties that you will have to pay. Verse 4, look at it. He is God's servant to do you good. If you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment. He's an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. God puts up authorities in order to give punishment out. That's the proper role of authorities. As I said the other week in this message or so from the previous text, these authorities are those in power are not in the business of, they're not there just to be kind and be forgiving. That's not the role. They're in the position to discipline, to maintain order, and to make sure things are done right in society and there's fairness and justice. I like the little distinction that one theologian made in these circles of discipline or circles of power. It says the church has the power to discipline with the word. The family has the power to discipline with the rod. And the government has the power to discipline with the sword. So you have the word in the church, the rod in the family, and the sword in the government. And notice what he says there concerning the sword, that the rulers do not bear the sword in vain. They do not bear the sword in vain or for nothing. Verse 4, you see it? Now, I want to quote from the Bible Background Commentary. It says, concerning the sword and punishment, it says, the sword refers to the standard method of execution in this period, that is beheading. In earlier times, they used an axe. Swords were carried in front of Roman officials to indicate their authority over life and death. Now, I don't want to turn this sermon into a sermon on capital punishment, but I do want to mention it briefly because I think it's here in the text on the surface. And the very use of the word sword, says John Murray, is so frequently associated with death as the instrument of execution that to tone it down or to exclude it in this context would be arbitrary and would be prejudiced to all the other evidence and usage of the term. For example, in Acts 12:2, King Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Acts 16:27, the jailer in Philippi woke up when he saw the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. In Hebrews 11:36, the ancient saints and martyrs says, some were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. And so here, in this context, you see, the government by God has been given them power to bring punishment to the wrongdoers. And if there are people in our community who do heinous crimes, who take the lives of our children, or who commit crimes that or attack upon humanity, then these individuals subject themselves to capital punishment, possibly forfeiting their lives because of the heinous choices that they have made. And the government has the power by God to punish, even to the point of taking human life, because they've attacked the image of God in human beings. Government authority is God's umbrella of protection for us. If you, on a rainy day, if you step out from underneath the umbrella, folks, you're likely to get rained on. And I hope it doesn't rain any more upon you than traffic tickets. I hope it doesn't rain something more harsh because you have not been respecting the authority. It's a smarter place. It's a safer place to stay, even if those in authority aren't the most wise people. Hopefully, God be merciful to us in that. And that's why in America, at least we have a chance to influence, have a chance to change people's opinions. We had some authority, just a little thing on the side, in the wrestling realms, somebody in the, I don't know if it's the state, I guess, made some decision about the wrestling tournament coming up for the state championship, and they decided they're going to change the rules. That if you lose the first round match, you're eliminated. You can't even place in the state championships. Well, I think it's stupid, personally. They've done it last year. 13 people who placed would have been eliminated because they won the second match, went on to win, a couple of them third place. So anyway, it's a dumb rule, but now we have an opportunity to negotiate with authorities and do it properly. You want to change the views and authority, you disagree with them? You know, influence them, do it respectfully, write letters, petitions, do whatever you can to get them to change their opinion. But don't be disruptive, don't be disobedient, disrespectful, don't be mean or ugly or all those things we know we shouldn't be doing anyway. Because we're called to live under authority, to show respect for it. And particularly, not just because there may be some penalties coming down, but lastly, we respect authority because it shows your respect for God. It's not just because you feel you're going to get caught or you're going to receive some penalty, in parents' case, and children, because you're going to be sent to your room. But it's because we have a relationship with God and we want to show respect for that relationship. Look at verse 5, if you would. He says, therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also why? We submit, be cooperative, because of conscience. And John Murray, the late author scholar, says this. He says, the meaning here regarding conscience is that we are to subject ourselves to authority out of a sense of obligation to God. This is our obligation to God. We're doing this not just about getting caught or we're worried we have a guilty conscience properly, but it's because we have this relationship with God. We're aware of Him and what He wants and His ways, and we do it because it's what He says. We love God. So, I want to give one parallel thought here. John 13:34. I can use this. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I mentioned Marcy Arnold's funeral service. And at the viewing, wasn't really a viewing, the visit that she was cremated, but some of the people came up to me, and they were so, these are apparently non-Christians. They came up to me and they said, whom I had known, and they said, this is supposed to be a negative time. You know, his 23-year-old daughter, she's passed away, and like, there's something that doesn't compute here, you know. It's like this room is filled with love, support, and there's just real life in the room. And I guess there was probably 100 people there at the time. And they're telling me this, like, you know, like, what's going on here? And I said, you know, there's a difference between religion and having a relationship with God. There's a difference between liturgy and whether, you know, you have something that's real in your heart. And I said, it's times like these when we find out whether God's really in somebody's life. And I said, Jesus said, they'll know you're my followers if you have love for one another. And what you're seeing is really the love of Christ, that these people have a connection with God. And you're seeing it come out, and all these Christians coming to support the others. They're crying, of course. But there's just this great, solid base of love and sense of optimism that's there. And it was noticeable to these few Christians who had talked to me. And I want to say that I think there's a parallel here when it comes to this text. And the ancient Christian writer Ambrosiaster writes this. He says, "Giving honor to the power that be in this world may have the effect that if they see the humility of Christ's servants, they may praise rather than curse the gospel's teaching." Do you see what he's saying? When people begin to see your attitude toward your boss, when they see these Christian little kids' attitude toward their mom and your dad, when they see the way you speak of people in authority, leaders, maybe leaders you don't even agree with, but when they see this respect coming out of you, they may say, "What's going on here? This doesn't compute. The whole office is mad at the boss, and you're not saying one negative, mean word about him, even though you disagree with his policy." Do you see what he's saying? Matthew 5:14 puts it more simply and more broadly. "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I'd like to close by reading Romans 13 from the Message translation. "Be a good citizen. All governments are under God, insofar as there is peace and order. It's God's order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you're irresponsible to the state, then you're irresponsible with God. God will hold you responsible. Duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you're trying to get by with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear. Do you want to be on good terms with the government? Be a responsible citizen, and you'll get on just fine. The government working to your advantage. But if you're breaking the rules right and left, watch out. The police aren't there just to be admired in their uniforms. God also has an interest in keeping order, and He uses them to do it. That's why you must live responsibly, not just to avoid punishment, but also because it's the right way to live. That's why also you pay taxes, so that an orderly way of life can be maintained. Fulfill your obligations as a citizen. Pay your taxes, pay your bills, respect your leaders." Folks, why do we cooperate and respect? Show respect for authority. It's out of your respect for God. Why was Christ condemned? Wasn't it because of your disrespect to God-given authority? And why did God commend Christ? Because Christ lives respectfully under God-given authority. And so I commend to you Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before you. Help us to walk in the ways of Christ, who yielded himself to every authority, and then offered up his perfect life, which was acceptable to God, but not after he had paid, but it was only after he had paid the penalty for our disobedience. Use this message to show the gospel, which leads us to life everlasting. Amen.